Good morning and welcome to Simply CRE. It's Thursday, May 9th. On today's show, a Billings building owner claims there's a squatter living in his commercial space, and we discuss effective management of commercial real estate debt. Plus, Farapoint expands its Atlanta footprint with a 220 KSF purchase. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply CRE. We start off with a Billings, Montana property dispute that has been dragging on for over 2 years between the building owner and a tenant he calls a serial squatter. The conflict centers around allegations of unpaid rent, unsafe conditions, and suspected criminal activity. For more, we turn to our Simply CRE correspondent. What can you tell us about this situation and the building in question?
The property at the heart of this dispute is a large commercial building in the Billings Bird District. Owner Alan Rice purchased it about 2 years ago with plans to create affordable housing. However, lacking proper fire suppression systems, Rice instead filled the building's 33 units with various commercial tenants. But he says one tenant occupying two large units has refused to pay rent for over a year and will not vacate, despite Rice's attempts to evict him through the courts.
And Rice alleges this tenant is engaged in more than just unpaid rent, correct? What does he claim is happening in those units?
Rice believes the tenant, Jarvis Carter, is operating what he calls a full-time crime and fencing operation out of the units, which contain mounds of goods Rice suspects are stolen. Rice says Carter may have even been living in the commercial space at one point, which is not permitted. Billings police say they have investigated reports from Rice and acted on ones with sufficient evidence, but have not confirmed any criminal activity by Carter, who has his own allegations against Rice.
Right. And Carter is actually suing Rice over issues with the building itself?
Yes. Carter has filed a lawsuit claiming the building is unsafe and hazardous due to a leaking roof, electrical problems, and code violations. He admits withholding rent, but says he's been making needed repairs that cause damage to his business inventory. Carter is seeking over $20,000 in damages. Meanwhile, Rice says he's suffered monetary losses and accuses Carter of blackmail, threats, and extortion.
Certainly, a complex situation. Where do things stand now in terms of the legal process and getting it resolved?
Rice says his civil case to evict Carter has stalled in district court without a hearing date for a year now. In the meantime, tensions have escalated, with Rice locking Carter out at one point, and Carter allegedly using bolt cutters to regain access. Rice claims the ordeal has extinguished his ambitions to help revitalize the neighborhood. For his part, Carter remains confident he will prevail in his lawsuit against Rice. But with both sides making serious accusations, this figures to be a lengthy and contentious legal battle.
A difficult dispute for all involved. Thank you for that update. We'll continue to follow this story as it progresses through the courts. Meanwhile, the commercial real estate market in Canada is facing new challenges as interest rates rise and asset valuations shift. Borrowers may need to bridge potential funding gaps, and in some cases, this could even lead to defaults. Here to discuss what this means for the industry is our correspondent. So, what's driving these changes in the lending environment?
There are a few key factors at play. Lower asset valuations are rebalancing against higher debt servicing requirements, creating potential funding gaps for borrowers. While interest rates are expected to drop somewhat in 2024, the decreases may not be enough to eliminate this risk entirely. Meanwhile, the broader operating and regulatory environment is also becoming more complex, with new interim guidance from OSFI impacting many financial institutions and lenders in Canada.
How are lenders responding to this increased uncertainty in the market?
Lenders are becoming more selective overall, with evolving requirements emerging for different real estate asset classes. While lending for multifamily, industrial, and grocery-anchored retail remains relatively stable, office and development land are now considered riskier. This points to a more conservative lending environment ahead, with greater emphasis on prudent practices, even as rates eventually adjust.
Given these changes, what steps should commercial real estate owners and borrowers take to navigate this landscape?
taking a proactive approach to managing debt is key. This starts with identifying risks and opportunities across the portfolio through updated property valuations and market assessments. Evaluating the business holistically, including cash flow projections and stress testing, is also critical. Armed with these insights, CRE players can then seize the moment and make an action plan, whether that involves divesting non-core assets, engaging lenders proactively, or exploring alternative uses and creative financing solutions.
It certainly sounds like staying ahead of the situation is essential. Any final thoughts to leave our audience with?
What might have felt like a standard loan renewal not long ago may now be a much more complex process. But by taking steps to prepare, like those I outlined, commercial real estate owners and borrowers can turn a higher risk environment into new opportunities. The key is generating the necessary insights to inform plans and solutions ahead of time, instead of simply reacting to external forces down the line.
Thanks for that insightful discussion on the commercial real estate lending landscape in Canada. Shifting our focus to the U.S., FarrowPoint, a real estate investment firm, has expanded its footprint in the Atlanta industrial market with the purchase of a 220,000-square-foot property in Stone Mountain, Georgia. The three-building campus was acquired from Brennan Investment Group, bringing FarrowPoint's total industrial space in Atlanta to over 2 million square feet. For more details on this transaction, we turn to our CRE correspondent. What can you tell us about this property and its significance for FarrowPoint's portfolio?
This campus at 4600 to 4680 Lewis Road is currently fully leased to New WinCup Holdings, which uses it as its national headquarters. The lease extends for at least another 13 years, providing stable long-term cash flows for FarrowPoint. The three buildings total 220,380 square feet and feature desirable industrial property characteristics like 20 to 21-foot clear heights, ample truck courts, and both dock-high and drive-in loading doors. Its location provides easy highway access, being close to US 78 and I-285, only 14 miles from downtown Atlanta.
How does this acquisition fit into FarrowPoint's broader investment strategy and their existing holdings, especially in the Atlanta market?
FarrowPoint has been on an aggressive expansion path, now owning over 400 industrial properties totaling more than 20 million square feet across the U.S. About 85% of that is in stabilized assets like this one, with long-term leases in place, while 15% are value-add plays, where they can invest in upgrades and releasing. Atlanta has been a key market for them, with this latest deal bringing their footprint to over 2 million square feet in that metro alone. The fundamentals of Atlanta's industrial market remain very strong, with robust tenant demand, population growth, and its role as a regional logistics hub.
What broader trends are you seeing in terms of investor demand and transaction activity for industrial real estate in Atlanta and across the country?
Industrial properties, especially warehouses and distribution centers, have been the hottest part of the commercial real estate market since the pandemic. The surge in e-commerce has driven demand for modern logistics facilities. Investors like the stable income from high occupancy and long leases with credit tenants. Cap rates have compressed to record lows, with so much capital chasing deals in this space. While rising interest rates are cooling the overall transaction market, premium industrial assets in core markets are still trading. FarrowPoint's recent acquisitions in Atlanta, New Jersey, and Charlotte illustrate their ongoing confidence in this product type.
Thanks for that update and analysis of the notable Atlanta industrial real estate deal and how it reflects the strategies of a major investor in this sector. Shifting our focus to the Mid-Atlantic region, a major mixed-use development in Howard County, Maryland, is nearing completion. Maple Lawn, a 605-acre community developed by Greenbaum Enterprises and St. John Properties, has announced plans for its final three commercial buildings. For more on this story, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about these new buildings being added to Maple Lawn?
The joint venture partnership is constructing two medical office buildings and one retail building to round out the commercial offerings at Maple Lawn. In total, the three buildings will add nearly 85,000 square feet of new Class A space. The medical office buildings at 7585 and 7575 Maple Lawn Boulevard will be 3 and 2 stories respectively. They are being built to LEED green building standards for sustainability and energy efficiency. The 17,000-square-foot retail building at 7415 Maple Lawn Boulevard will be a single-story inline space.
And where does this bring the total scope of the Maple Lawn development?
Upon completion in late 2025, Maple Lawn will encompass 1.8 million square feet of office, flex, R&D, and retail space. The mixed-use community already has over 1,300 homes along with the existing commercial space. Major companies like Cisco Systems, Johns Hopkins Medicine, Raytheon and others have a presence there. The location is very attractive, situated near Route 29 and I-95 between Baltimore and Washington, D.C.
What else is in the works for Greenbaum and St. John properties in that area?
The partnership recently acquired an adjacent 12.5-acre site in Montpelier Research Park. They have announced plans there to speculatively develop 2 more single-story flex and R&D buildings, totaling nearly 70,000 square feet. Those are anticipated to deliver in 2026. There is a lot of growth potential, with over 170,000 consumers within a 5-mile radius of Maple Lawn, and an average household income in that area exceeding $173,000.
It certainly seems like a prime location for continued commercial real estate development. Thanks for that update from Howard County, David. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply CRE. We'll see you back here tomorrow.